B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
.30, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatics. Get an update on our Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown, PA. With Jen Scordo. Jen.
Can the Phillies make the postseason with Joe Girardi as their manager? 13% say yes, he's a good manager. 87% say no, time to move on.
I think I'll ask that question in the same exact form to our next guest, who, of course, has been covering baseball for a really long time. And he's in the Hall of Fame because of it. Currently working for The Athletic. He is the curse of the great Jason Stark, brought to us by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks. Everfresh is nature's refreshment. Jason, can the Phillies make the playoffs with Joe Girardi as a manager?
That's how we're going to start this?
That's how I'm going to start it. That's our question.
So this is going to be an upbeat segment?
well, listen.
Joe's a topic. We've had this conversation before. Can they make the playoffs with Joe Girardi as manager? If the players play to their talent level, they can. Joe has managed playoff teams many times. Obviously, it's possible. But if you want, if that's your segue to talk about last night wasn't good. I'll definitely concede that.
All right, first of all, they just look to me. This is not like I'm trying to pick on Girardi, but they just look like a team that is just mired in mediocrity, and they're not supposed to be. And while they can look good in some games, they just give it back. And to me, they're really coming close to developing that kind of personality, which I think could maybe last all year. But that's just my opinion on that. Let's look at last night's game.
Okay.
Now tell me why that would be so difficult a decision to use Dominguez in that spot.
You know, one thing we have learned about Joe Girardi is he's as regimented a man as has ever held that job that I've been around. So when he decides somebody isn't available, he's a hard guy to move off that opinion. Before we get to Sir Anthony specifically, Nick Nelson pitching the bottom of the ninth in that game, that is really hard to justify. I tweeted this last night, but he has five pitchers on his team who have closed in the big leagues. None of them are named Nick Nelson. He's got no career big league saves. He has one career minor league save, and he got the ball in that spot after Bryce's homer. So what were his options? Joe said Sir Anthony is not available. It's hard to understand. I know they're trying to protect him, but he didn't pitch Monday. He'd thrown 11 pitches the day before. I don't understand how he cannot be available. Corey Knebel threw 9 pitches the night before. Not a safe situation. There's no stress. 1, 2, 3. The day before, he also pitched in a non-safe situation. He was the one guy who would have fit the 3 days in a row rule, but Mike, he clearly wanted to pitch. I'm not there, but everybody who was there wrote about how he and Joe had a animated conversation after the game about why he was not pitching. Then all Joe would say was, nope, not available. Yeah, I mean, even Familia. He didn't pitch Sunday, did pitch Monday. Would not have been 3 days in a row for him. Jose Alvarado, he was available. Joe said, he didn't want him facing all those right-handed hitters, but he has actually been better against right-handed hitters than left-handed hitters this year. Brad Hand has closed. He was available. He'd already used Brad Hand. So I don't know. What was the plan to get through that game?
Well, see, this is the thing. Well, a manager, the best thing you do is play the best percentages, right? Because that's really what, you know, they can make some moves, but that's why this, all these analytics, and he's got all his books there and the whole bit. He give you your best chance to win is to play the best percentages at the proper time. How would he not see what we just talked about? And that's why I go, well, what kind of manager is he? If you can't see that, that's a fundamental, simple thing to see.
Yeah, for a bullpen maestro, theoretically, you know, that was not good. And I just asked you, what was the plan to get through the game? Was James Norwood in a tie game with his 8.53 ERA? That was part of the plan. Nick Nelson in the ninth with no career saves. That was the plan. It confuses me. I've been talking this week to executives from teams that have just played the Phillies. And I had a conversation today with a guy who's, I would describe him as normally very data driven. And even he said to me, there are certain games in the course of the season that you have to win. And that means whatever the script is in your head, you have to be willing to deviate. You have to be flexible in that job, in moments like that, in games like that. Last night was one of those games, but I think the more we see Joe manage, the more we understand he's not a deviator.
Yeah, well, that's clear, and I don't know whether that's enough to move this team forward, because they just look like they're just stuck in neutral all the time.
The formula is a little precarious anyway. One of the other guys I talked to talked about this idea that you're going to win by having the best offense in the game, or mm-hmm. whatever they projected their offense to be. If that's the case, there's a lot of pressure on the hitters to hit. And not just Bryce and Alec Bohm and maybe somebody else. You've got to hit from the top of the lineup to the bottom of the lineup, and you've got to do it consistently. And they haven't done that. And look, the starters have been really good. Really good. Mm-hmm. But they're not going to pitch every inning of the season. And the bullpen, the way it's performed, the way it's been used, is becoming an issue again. Another the guys I talked to this week, he had an interesting comment on their bullpen. He said he thinks the talent is better out there, their arms are better. By and large, they've performed better. And it's true, look at their numbers. This is not a historically awful bullpen. But in those moments that decide whether you win or lose, those are the moments that matter, and those are the moments this bullpen has performed the worst. This is three games where, like, you have to win. Three games this month, the 7-1 game against the Mets, that last game in Dodger Stadium when they're about to sweep them, and this one. There are eight games out. Those games add up. You only get so many of those if you're going to win anything.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All you say is true. Players have to perform. I'm wondering, you've been in many clubhouses, you've talked to many players. I wonder what, like, because the players, especially Bryce Harper, had to be hurt by that game last night. That's a W they should have had. So does the players look at manager error like that and take points away from Girardi?
You've been in clubhouses. What do players do best? They second guess.
Yeah.
They second guess the front office. They second guess the manager. And Bryce has an ability when he talks about games like this to say what he thinks he's supposed to say, but convey what he really means. Mm-hmm. And last night was one of those times. I don't know if you saw it or heard it or read it, but on one hand, he's saying, well, that's baseball. On the other hand, he's saying, we have to win that game.
Yeah.
I've referred to Bryce a couple times jokingly as the assistant GM, and he learned that from Jason Worth. I don't know that Bryce is to the point where he goes to John Middleton and says, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. But
that could be a possibility.
Right.
Down the road.
Right. You know, there's no more important voice in the room or in the franchise right now than Bryce. If he has thoughts and he expresses those thoughts, I would think they would be listened to.
All right. So quickly, the Moniak situation, how do you think that plays out sooner than later?
They're just grasping for an answer in center field. Their center field situation's been horrendous. Matt Vierling hit 170, Roman Quinn's hitting 171. Odubel's 10 for 52 this month. We had a ball that had to be caught last night that wasn't caught. They're looking for answers. There's no doubt that if Mickey Moniak on this rehab option does anything at all, he's going to get an opportunity just because he's none of the above. But I don't know where it's leading.
All right, I got to ask you before I let you go. I got to ask you about Josh Donaldson. I know it's kind of an old topic by now, but I know you know about players and stuff. This guy seems like a real creep. Is that what the reputation of most of the teammates he's played with is?
You know, he's definitely a guy. If you're on the other team. He's a guy that nobody on the other team likes. When you're on his team, when he's on your team, he has a lot of thoughts. He talks a lot. He's talked himself off a lot of teams. And it really depends on who else is in the room. I've talked to the Braves about this probably more than any other team he's been on. And, you know, they just had figures who could say to him, Josh, this isn't how we do things. This isn't how we act. This isn't the kind of stuff we say or do. You got to rein it in. You know, he plays with great energy. He does care about every game. He's very talented, but he's now at the point where he feels like he's gone through a team a year. Why does that happen? It's pretty obvious why it happens.
Yeah. Jason, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on. And I don't know. Maybe next week things will have turned around and it'll be more of an upbeat conversation.
That sounds good, Mike. I look forward to it.
You got it. Thanks, Jason. Jason Stark, brought to us by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks. Everfresh is nature refreshment. I was reading a story up in New York. The guy that works up there, Brandon Tierney, who I used to work with at that station up there when I was doing the show at Stephen A.
Mm-hmm.
And he was having Paul O'Neill on as a guest. And he was told right before they had Paul O'Neill on hold.
Mm-hmm.
And right before they went to him, the handler who's, I don't know, Paul O'Neill has some kind of thing he was talking about. So the handler said he under no circumstances is he to be asked about Josh Donaldson. And Brandon Tierney canceled the interview.
Yeah.
So good for him.
Yeah, that's the right thing to do. Stephen A. made an ass of himself earlier today about it, too.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he was defending him, saying that he wasn't racist, blah, 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 without asking the actual aggrieved party what he thought. He thought it was. So Stephen A. just went off. He's been running around with the Mad Dog and stuff. It was embarrassing by Stephen A. earlier. How do you get to make that call, Stephen A., when the aggrieved party says it was? And it says there is no inside joke and blah, 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 blah. He just gave him a full pass. It was pretty bad.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.